Okay. Hi everyone, I'm Nikos Mavroianopoulos. I work at Red Hat, and I'm going to present the Fedora system-wide crypto policies. And it's a bit of cacophony, actually, to see Red Hat in a conference of OpenSUSE. But the point of this talk is to invite for collaboration and see where we can work together. Actually, I cannot see you, so if you want to make any comments or make any questions during the presentation, just make sure you are visible because of the light. So what I'm going to present is I'm going to give you the purpose, why do we need the system-wide crypto policies, the benefits that we see to them, what is the current status as we have it in Fedora, what is the approach we followed, some lessons learned, and our future plans. So, who is me? I work at Red Hat Security Technologies, as I mentioned before, mostly on crypto-related projects. My favorite projects is GNU/TLS and the Open Connect VPN, and I also contribute to OpenWRT. And I started the system-wide crypto policies effort in Fedora. So let's move on to the purpose. Why do we need it? As an administrator, typically you don't maintain one system. You maintain probably a chaotic situation like this. You have multiple systems, multiple users. Some of the systems are servers, some of the systems are clients. And if we focus on a single system, let's say we take a server, what the server is doing most of the time, it's communicating over the LAN or over the internet with other systems. And if we want to be precise, it's communicating with using CURL, WGET, Firefox, Apache, SSH, OpenVPN, or hundreds of programs that you may find in a Linux distribution like Fedora or OpenSUSE. And the question now is, how secure is its channel established by this server? If someone connects to this server over Apache, how secure is this question? What is the level, the security level established? If someone here is an administrator, most likely you say either I don't know or I know for this particular service, but I don't know about anything else. So the next question is, how can we ensure a consistent security level across the system or across the systems we administer? And this is the problem that system-wide crypto policies solve. We apply a consistent default security policy across all applications in the system and all the libraries in the system. I would like to make a note here that we would like this policy to be modifiable by the distributor and the user of the applications rather than the author of the software, because typically in distribution we have software packet not distributed, but it's taken from multiple sources, multiple authors with different views on security, with different approaches. So you have one application that has, let's say, AS256 by default used, and it doesn't go lower. And you have another software that uses RC4, and you cannot change it. So that's why we would like the security level to be set by the distributor, who wants to set some consistent level on the system. So, how is the problem tackled today? What do administrators do? If you are an administrator, maybe you have already a solution. But the best one I could find was that an administrator goes to a website like bettercrypto.org. He downloads a PDF that tells you how to harden each of your servers or your client applications. So you go through this document, it's 100 pages, and you go, let's say, for the OpenVPN, you go to the section for OpenVPN, for Apache, you go to the section for Apache. You copy these settings to your configuration files, and then you supposedly you put a reasonable security level for today to your servers. What happens 2 years later is that these settings that you copied there are already outdated. Probably some attack was invented, some new attack, so the old algorithms are already deprecated. So if you set up a server in 2010, and today, most likely you need to disable half of the algorithms that existed there. Like RC4, you have to disable SSL 3.0. So that is why we would like to improve this process. And what are the benefits we see? If we improve this process, we reduce, first of all, the administrative burden. An administrator wouldn't have to go through these documents and modify each and every service on a system. And we also reduce support costs in a sense that several vulnerabilities will be already tackled system-wide. Here I have an example of Logjam, because it was an attack that happened when we already knew that 1024-bit Diffie-Hellman was the minimum we could use. However, some applications had much lower than that. So if we had a consistent security policy of the system, when Logjam happened, we wouldn't have the problem. And of course, easier audit, because if you hire an auditor to go through your system and tell you whether everything is okay in respect to cryptography, he wouldn't have to go through the programs that follow the policy. He would just check the programs that don't follow the policy that ideally there shouldn't be any. So this was pretty much the theory of it. Let me go to the current status. What do we have in Fedora? We did a first pilot version in Fedora 21. It was simply a common policy for GNU TLS and OpenSSL applications, so it was mainly a common policy for the libraries. And we selected to have only three policies to choose from. One called Legacy, that had every broken algorithm you could think of, like MD5 and everything. Default, which is, we define it to be a reasonable for today's security level, where today is when Fedora is released. And future was a security level that we define it as the algorithms that we expected to be broken in the near future are removed, like SHA-1, for example. The interesting part is that if you use future, most likely you cannot connect anywhere in the internet. In the next version of Fedora, in 22, we converted several libraries and applications to adhere to this policy, including Apache, LightSPD, all the servers we had, most of the command line applications like wget and LFTP. In the next version of Fedora, in 23, we added also bind, so the crypto policies will generate a policy for the bind application, and for Kerberos clients as well in Fedora 24, that was released a few days ago. And in Fedora 25, we plan to add Java, a consistent policy also for Java and NSS applications. NSS is the library used by Firefox and also Chromium, I believe. And we try to involve upstream as little as possible, but we couldn't avoid it, actually. So we required some upstream patches for GNU TLS. It's already upstream since 3.3.0, that's a few years ago. In OpenSSL, we opened some pull requests in GitHub and we discussed it with the developers, but the discussion is still ongoing, unfortunately, after 2 years. And for NSS, it's already upstream, the patches that we needed to adhere to the policies. And the way upstream selected was to go through setting policies via a file called pks11.txt. So let me go to what was the approach that we selected. And let me first say about OpenSSL and GNU TLS that were the first programs that we used. If you have used OpenSSL application, most likely you know this cipher suite string that is you said something like hi, not MD5, and something like this. If you have set up Apache, most likely you already put string like that in the configuration file. In GNU TLS, it's something similar. It has another configuration string for cipher suites. So we selected, since both have a configuration string, why not set a configuration string that is default for the system? So we decided to have a configuration string for OpenSSL, for example, that is profile equals system, and add system for GNU TLS, so that when you specify these specific keywords, the system-wide policy will be used for the application. That way, the administrator can also override the system-wide policy if he needs to, and we can also set it by default in configuration files without breaking most existing user cases. Then, of course, the hard work was to modify all the programs we were shipping with the default configuration files to contain these specific strings. This is still an ongoing effort. We have converted most of the programs, but not everything yet. And of course, there are applications which don't have configuration files, and these were also one of the main targets of the policy, because if you don't have a configuration file, I mean, no one knows what you're using. So when an application didn't have a configuration file, we simply modified it to use the default system policy. You can see our rules on this URL. I hope I will be able to put online this presentation after the talk. And these are our packaging rules for adhering to the policy for applications in Fedora. And another addition we did was we wanted to warn the packagers when a program was overriding the default settings of OpenSSL or GNU TLS. Something I didn't mention, that if an application is using the default settings of OpenSSL or GNU TLS, we made them automatically to use the system-wide defaults rather than OpenSSL or GNU TLS defaults. So if an application was overriding these defaults, we modified RPM lint to warn the packager that this application modifies the default. You have to take some action, either make it adhere to the default system-wide policies if it is hard-coded, if it has a policy hard-coded, or modify the configuration file if needed. For applications which had configuration files like Bint, the name server, or Kerberos applications, we simply generate a configuration file with a policy that complies with the Bint, let's say, format. And then we modified Bint to simply include the configuration files emitted by the policy application. This is simply an example. The policy generate configuration for Kerberos. This is for Kerberos. It just says that the ticket is allowed to be encrypted with AES-256, AES-128. And then this file is linked from the Kerberos configuration directory. And we also allowed the administrator to opt out by simply deleting that link. Because if, for example, the administrator wants to override this policy, it's easier if he opts out rather than reducing the whole system policy in order to comply with his local requirements. And what we wanted to cover ideally was everything related to cryptography, from signature algorithms, MAC algorithms, cipher algorithms, key exchange algorithms, elliptic curves, size of parameters, protocols, whatever is you see there. We haven't quite managed. For GNU TLS and NSS, we managed to cover everything. For OpenSSL, because of the default cipher suite string of OpenSSL is restricted to setting only this subset, we couldn't cover everything on the policy. So we rely on the packager to restrict to the acceptable default policy by default on for everything else. This is not ideal, but it At least for now, upstream OpenSSL developers are not interested in extending their Cypher Suite string. So for now, we are restricted on that aspect. So I will move on with a section I call Lessons Learned. It's pretty much trivia out of the development of the crypto policies. What we realized is that we require a smooth transition. If you have system-wide policies, you cannot simply disable an algorithm and expect to release. We tested it, and in what later became Fedora 22, we disabled SSL 3.0, and by the time I did it and I committed, 10 minutes later I had already a bug reported that some application broke. However, with sufficient planning, we could make it work. I don't know how is your process in OpenSUSE. In Fedora, we have a process of announcing a change and then waiting 6 months until the next release and doing that change. So we followed this process to disable RC4 and SSL 3.0, and we were pretty sufficient. In Fedora 23, we managed to remove it from most of the system. Something also that relates to the policies and also to the upstreams that we collaborated with, there is some upstream reluctance usually for something system-wide. Some upstream developers from OpenSSL, they said each application should be free, for example, to set their own settings. But if you are a distributor of software in really large bunches, like a distribution of Fedora or OpenSUSE, you really have thousands of pieces of software. You don't want each application to be that free because you have no idea what you are shipping. And this was something we actually failed them to convince, and this is why OpenSSL still has limited support for crypto policies. And another aspect is that changes for proactive security that don't actually solve a problem that all people see at this moment are pretty slow to adopt. With NSS, it also took more than a year to include the policies. And unlike if you have a CV, you are going to solve it in a matter of days. But if you have something that will improve CVs of the future, you have no time pressure, actually, and most likely we see the progress is slow. However, we also see that it pays off. The fix for Poodle, which was simply disabling SSL 3.0, would have been a fix in a single policy, in a single piece of the distribution, rather than having to fix all the applications we ship in Fedora. The same for the new issues that were found in RC4 or in CBC ciphers, the same compression. As I mentioned, the logjam attack wouldn't have been wouldn't have been at the news at all. So what do we plan to do in the future? We also plan to include OpenSSH. This is of lower priority to us because OpenSSH is one of the applications that the upstream developers are pretty active, and their defaults are pretty sensible. We don't have much problem with them, but we think it would be a good idea to add them to policy anyway. And we have a tracker where you can see on which stage we are for each transition of the applications we plan to include. We also want to auto-generate the policy because in the beginning when we started it was simply OpenSSL and GNU/TLS. We just added NSS later. But now we are generating policies for 8 applications pretty much. So we cannot rely on someone hand-coding the policy for each application. So we are pretty much at the end. We need to rewrite it, and I have a rewrite pending. And one request that was made to us a year ago, actually, was to generate the policy in a way that new applications can read and set and follow it in a way that the policy will not generate a specific policy for that application, but the application will read the generic policy of the system and act. I'm not convinced that this will not cause more problems than we'll actually solve, but it's an idea we're actually considering at the moment. So, the reason of this talk was actually to describe what we have in Fedora and possibly for we can collaborate with the OpenSUSE developers to bring it there as well. And it's hosted at GitHub, the tool that generates the policies at the moment. And you can see it there. And that's the end of my talk. So if you have any questions, that's the time to make it.
Doesn't work. Ah, yeah. Is there a designed application-specific override capability? Because, as an example, some routing protocols have requirements for something like MD5, but as a policy, you want to prevent that you know all the other services are allowed to have to use that hash.
The application-specific overrides depend. They depend mainly on the library or the backend that the application is using. For OpenSSL and GnuTLS, for example, the application typically allows you to override the CipherSuite string. So, if you override it, you override the system-wide policy. So you use your specific policy that you want for this particular application. The problem comes to applications which don't allow you to override. For them, we don't do anything more than just making sure that it follows the policy. For these applications, if an override is needed, it has to be done upstream with the application. I don't know if that answers your question. We can discuss it further if you want later.
How did other Linux distributors react, or how did you get your configuration policies into upstream? So I'm asking about the feedback of your project. Did you influence other developers, or
we have. The upstream parts that we wanted are currently upstream in GNU/TLS and NSS. So these parts we already have upstream, and currently we're at talk with the OpenSSL developers to upstream some parts that we may require. Other than that, we don't require any other upstream cooperation. We are doing it. We can do it by only configuring downstream. So I guess that's all. Thank you very much.